stillborn is a heartbreaking event for far too many in our society, but there are measures that can reduce the likelihood. Our chat with Claire Ford from Still Aware may just make the difference for you or someone you know.
You're with Evie and Lee here on 88.9 Hills Radio. Now, sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, we all know that. That's 1 to 35 people, children die of stillborn, and yet still the public awareness of stillborn, stillbirth, is alarmingly limited. Now, Claire Ford, who's with us today in the studio, is the founder and CEO of an organisation called Still Aware, which campaigns and educates mothers and clinicians into ways the incidence of stillbirth can be reduced and even prevented. Along the way, she's been awarded South Australia's Local Hero at the 2016 Australia of the Year Awards. Welcome, Claire, to our little program.
Thank you.
I guess the place to start here is where it began, where you began on this path.
Sure. Well, in 2014, my firstborn, Alfie, was born without breath on the 12th of February 2014. And it's something still to this day that I can't really describe quite what that feels like. It is completely unfathomable. The pain that you feel associated with the loss of your child, the fact that you're birthing a baby without breath, a baby that will be stillborn, and that it'll be a completely silent delivery suite, is something that you just can't fathom until you're really in it. No one really understands that unless they've been through it themselves.
The major anticipation, I imagine, is you know, you're built and ready for this whole thing to happen, and as you said, there's silence. That must be
very difficult. It's the worst sound, the sound of nothing. Yeah. And there's so much silence in that space. Why do we need to have silence around this subject? It's such an isolating experience as it is. So it's really important that we talk about it. And what actually happened is I went into hospital expecting all too well for this baby to be born alive, knowing that she was healthy and well just hours before, and to be told by midwives, "I'm sorry, I can't find a heartbeat," is something that is, to this day, really hard to even say, because those words will live with me forever. And I knew the moment I saw her body so still and lifeless on the screen, on that ultrasound, that something was wrong, because she was a mover and a shaker. She moved around so much inside me throughout pregnancy, and I knew her so very well. So all of a sudden, when her movements had not only slowed but had stopped, I knew something was not right. Although, funnily enough, and it's quite cruel actually, these urban myths, and people tell you, oh, the baby slows down before it's born. It's just getting ready to be born.
I was told that. It's quieting down. It's having a little... It's gathering its energy before it arrives. And that is not the case.
It's not the case. That is completely false and a complete myth. And that's something we talk about through stillaware.org too, with all of our information on there. But basically, a baby doesn't slow down. Sure, the movements might feel different in terms of intensity. It might be, instead of a jab or a punch, it's more of a roll, or even a poke, or even you know, a foot. You can see the limbs.
Well, I guess things are congesting in there, aren't they? So they can't sort of shove their way around quite as much.
That's right, but they still want to move. They still have a routine of movement. And Alfie, our firstborn daughter, had a fabulous routine, and I knew her so well. I knew that I could read a certain book to her and she'd always move around. I knew that if I played certain music, she'd either thrash about, like, "Don't play that song."
Exactly.
Or, "I really like that. I'm enjoying this, Mum." So I was her best advocate, but I was never told that I could be that person. I was never given that information that a baby's movements mattered so much. And had I been given that information, I know wholeheartedly that Alfie would be here today.
So we're not empowered, actually, are we? When the moment we fall pregnant, I find that the doctor takes over, the midwife takes over, your nurse, your family, everyone takes over. And yet the one that's one-on-one is yourself and
that's
that baby. And you're right, you do know the habits and that. And this is what you're trying to educate mums with, isn't it? That they've got the power and they've got the voice to speak for their little one.
And educate families, actually. And the funny thing is that actually can be your best tool. It's all of the people that have an opinion You should all have an opinion about stillbirth as well. Mm-hmm. You should be talking to people and saying, do you know, have you got to know your baby's movements? Do you know, you know, that your baby has a little routine? And some babies might be really chilled out, really docile. Others might be really, you know, happy-go-lucky and love certain things. You can get to know your baby's personality before your baby's born. Did you know that? That can come from anyone, be it somebody at the supermarket, be it somebody, be it your mother, be it a grandmother, be it a neighbour, a work colleague, or even your husband or significant other. So it doesn't, it's not, doesn't just fall on the mother alone. She's not alone in this. Just like we share our opinion on how we should raise a baby, how we should dress a baby, how you should eat during pregnancy, whether you should exercise, whether you shouldn't, whether you should eat soft cheeses or deli meats, which, by, mind you, your chances of contracting listeria from eating deli meats and soft cheeses in pregnancy are one in over 20,000. But your chances of having a stillborn baby in pregnancy in Australia are one in 135.
Well, that's the bit that I wanted to cover next, really. I read up on your website there that six babies a day mm-hmm. are a stillborn. Day. Now, yes. that means in Australia, one every 4 hours. I think that's incredible that we don't know more about this. And as we said, the ratio of SIDS 1 to 35, that's not saying SIDS is not important, but at 35 to 1, I think this is a very important issue.
Yeah.
You decided to do something about it.
Absolutely. And look, the only reason we did is because no one else was doing it before us. So Still Aware are a national organisation. Yes, we started here in South Australia and we're based here in South Australia, but we run Australia-wide. And awareness is bringing change already. We're seeing some amazing stories. A grandmother actually got in touch with me recently that just said, you know, thank you so much for talking to me about this, because had I not known this, I wouldn't have been able to alert my daughter-in-law to go straight into hospital. Now, she had a period of increased fetal movement due to, it was actually hiccupping at that stage, which is new data we're waiting for to be published. But it was, she knew that something wasn't right. She trusted her instincts and said to her daughter-in-law, I think you need to go straight into hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She went straight into hospital and underwent an emergency caesarean. That baby was in severe distress. Had she not had a conversation with Still Aware, she would not have known that that was reason for concern, that her baby was actually giving her a sign that she needed to do something about it. And that baby's here today and well and very, very healthy and strong and breathing and several weeks old now. So it's incredibly important that everybody knows they can all talk about this. This isn't something that has to be isolated. It doesn't need to be a taboo subject. It's not that we're trying to be fearful about talking about the subject of stillbirth. It's about empowerment, empowering pregnant families, expectant families, to embrace this and to embrace that baby inside the woman who is growing and sharing their personality with you already.
And you mentioned that that particular case, they went to hospital and there was a caesarean
mm-hmm.
done.
Mm-hmm.
This is where there's also a problem you have found in your travels and in research and speaking to people, that sometimes you get to hospital and they are dismissive of your worries.
Yeah.
How do you handle that, Claire?
It's really, it's tough, isn't it? I actually was in a room full of fabulous student midwives yesterday who are being educated about the importance of fetal movement, which is really, really encouraging. That's not a, it's not a compulsory part of the curriculum, but I was there and present for that part of the session, giving out our information. It was really, really good to hear the right questions asked. And one of the student midwives actually said, you know, I've seen some of the midwives that I work with, who I look up to, do that, to say, oh, look, you know, you're fine. The mother rings up and says, oh, you know what, my baby's not moving as much. My movements are reduced. I'm worried. Oh, look, love, it's fine. Have a glass of water.
Yeah.
Wait a couple of hours. And if you're still worried, give us a call back. Now, that mother took the amount of energy and strength to pick up the phone and say, I'm worried. Now, chances are it took more than just, I'll just quickly call my midwife. It takes a lot of procrastination, a lot of second-guessing yourself already. So it's really, really important that people aren't dismissive, and that's clinicians at large.
Yeah. We've just got to have a small break, Claire. We'll bring you back after the news. Sitting in with us today is Claire Ford, founder of Still Aware, here with Evie and Lee. And just continuing on our conversation, Claire, you were speaking about the fact that women need to feel comfortable in actually coming forward and ringing up, because we were just speaking off air and saying it takes a lot of courage to say I'm worried about something when your baby has stopped movement.
Well, it takes a lot of courage to speak up regardless in pregnancy about any of it. So even if you just have a feeling of feeling uncomfortable or just something doesn't feel right, even if it's not related to movements, it's really important to feel empowered to pick up the phone or to go straight into your doctor or to your midwife or to the hospital, regardless of the hour. So if it's at 2 a.m. in the morning, if it's 8 p.m. at night, if it's the weekend and you think, oh, my obstetrician's is Saturday and the obstetrician works on a Monday, don't wait till the Monday. What we know is that you have to act pretty instantly. And what's interesting, you know, in regards to what you're talking about, this dismissive nature potentially of some clinicians, which seems to be, unfortunately, a story that we keep rehearing and does reoccur. What I do know, however, there's some really good stories about families feeling really empowered and actually acting on their instincts. So at the same session yesterday with the midwives that we were educating, one of them said, this is a family story of mine, and a friend of mine said that she woke up in the morning and didn't feel comfortable. Something wasn't right. She wasn't happy with the baby's movements. So she sat down, paid attention to the baby's movements, and it wasn't moving as much, and thought, oh, you know, something's not right. Still thought, actually, look, it's fine. I'm probably just being silly. Waited a little while, then had a sugary drink, which, by the way, only that's going to perhaps give the baby a little bit of energy. It's not going to fix the problem if a baby's lethargic or if you're feeling ill. So had a little, sugary drink.
Could that give a good bad reading as well? Could that sort of give a false reading?
Absolutely, absolutely. It could give you a false positive to say, oh, look, everything's fine. I'm okay. Or all it does is delay the process of going in. Still, the baby didn't respond the way she was happy with, the way it normally would respond. So she was concerned. An hour later, she spoke to her husband and said, look, I've been a bit worried this morning. I've done these two things. Should I go in? He said, look, you know, it's up to you. We'll wait a couple of hours if you like and then see how you feel. So she had three opportunities to step up and say, you know what, I want to call the midwife or I want to call the hospital, I want to go in. Now, she took three times before she said, actually, I'm going to go in now. And that was hours later after that first initial I don't feel right moment. She rang the midwife and the midwife said, look, you're probably fine. Just spend some time at home, spend a couple of hours paying attention to your baby. And if you're still worried, give us a call back. Instantly dismissive of that woman. Mm-hmm. Now, she'd already had four times where she had dismissed herself, finally picked up the phone to ring and was dismissed. Now, she said to her husband, nah, I'm not waiting. I want to go in. Ignored the advice of the clinical provider and actually went into hospital. Baby was in severe distress. Again, another emergency cesarean, and the baby is here because that woman trusted her instincts.
So intuitively, and intuitively, yes. Mothers do know.
They do.
So that raises the point. So you're raising awareness for mothers because really mothers do need to know that they can be empowered to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. But as importantly, we're talking about clinicians now. How does your organisation? How do you go about raising the awareness with this group?
With the fraternity, medical fraternity. Look,
and we have got some great support from some fabulous clinicians. Now, I'm talking about, it could be yoga instructors, prenatal educators in terms of, I know it's not Lamar's anymore, but, you know, in terms of going out and doing, prenatal education classes, to obstetricians in the private and public sector and midwives in those sectors as well. But we've also got several people that are sectors of people that say, oh, you know what, it's really rare. Stillbirth is not a real problem in Australia. But every time we say, you know what, it's actually six babies every day that are born without breath. They are stillborn and they don't have to be. What we know is that when a baby is unwell in pregnancy, it will move less, which means not as strong or not as often as they normally do, as their normal routine. So that's reason for concern. Now, the medical fraternity know this, and so should the families. So we are educating not only the public at large, but also the medical fraternity on this, on saying that they actually should understand that when a mother rings up and is concerned, they have to come in straight away, which is actually part of the prenatal guidelines, but also that they come in, that they educate the family to say, if you have anything that you're concerned about, if movements do change or if something doesn't feel right, just call. You're not wasting our time. Come on in. So we do that through our training sessions nationally, with public and also with clinical providers.
Is it like, I read something about a movement diary.
Mm-hmm. So it's up to you how you want to monitor your baby's movements. If you choose to count, which is a historic practice that some people like to use, if you choose to spend time on a certain time of the day, or if you choose to, you know, make a note in your diary, or just spend time on the same time every day when your baby is most active, that's okay. Whatever is normal for you is what your normal is.
So, Claire, we could go on talking about this because there's really so many aspects to cover. But you've got a function coming up.
We do.
A fundraising function. Could you briefly go through that?
Absolutely.
Let everybody know.
So for all of the people who know Top of the Arc at the Arca Bar, that's where
we've all been there. I reckon some babies have been made there.
Quite possibly.
At least after.
Well, it's Top of the Arc. What we're actually doing is creating a beautiful garden delight up there, a butterfly garden delight. So it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. And it'll be a night set amongst this garden with fabulous entertainment, beautiful food and wine and excellent prizes that have been donated. We're obviously raising money for Still Aware to promote awareness education for prevention of stillbirth in Australia, which we know if we do well in Australia, we can save 3 babies every day. But we need you to be able to do this 2nd of September at Top of the Arc. Go to stillaware.org for more information and click our events tab and all the information's there.
And if you've missed all that, what we'll do, Lee and I, will put it on our Facebook page, we'll put it on the Hills radio page, we'll also give you a link so that you don't miss out. And also for those people that are listening and needing an ear, so to speak, it'll give you where to go to have a chat with Claire or the people that are helping through Still Aware. Thank you for coming in, Claire. And thank you for sharing a story. And thank you for bringing something so important to women throughout this country.
Thank you.
An awareness of what they can do in this day and age.
Thank you. Pleasure.